My guest on this Labor Day is Diana Furcht-Gottroth, former chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor, former chief of staff also for President George W. Bush's Council of Economic Advisors. She's now with the Manhattan Institute. She's also a contributing editor for RealClearMarkets.com, and in a recent column talked about what she sees as the latest move by the National Labor Relations Board to make life as difficult as possible for employers across the country, and that is forcing them to post large posters around their businesses, advising their workers of their right to unionize. And Diana, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Craig.
You say this is not a good move by the board. Why?
Well, the first reason is that the board doesn't have the statutory authority to require employers to post these notices. In every case where notices are posted about minimum wage, about occupational safety and hazard administration, about equal employment, anti-discrimination, Congress has passed a law saying employers should put up these posters. So in the case of this latest poster on union organizing that's been required by the National Labor Relations Board, Congress has not specified in the law that the poster should be required. So you might ask, if the statute doesn't require it, why are they doing it? Why doesn't some agency require a poster informing workers of their right to bear arms or their rights to free speech or some other rights? You can't just pick out a right and tell employers they have to post it on a notice without congressional authorization.
In addition to the busy work this creates, what other headaches does this create for employers, do you think?
Well, it possibly creates headaches for employers in that not one but two copies of the posters have to be put up. If 20% of the workforce is more comfortable in a language other than English, and it could be two sets of 20%, they have to post the poster in another language also. That's two sets of 11 by 17 posters. And these posters, by the way, are larger than the posters required for minimum wage, for employment discrimination, for anything else. This is the largest poster required.
And what do you believe is the ultimate purpose behind this? Because I would imagine that most workers in the back of their mind probably have at least some idea of what they can and can't do in terms of unionizing. What is the idea behind this?
Well, yes, the National Labor Relations Act has been around for 75 years, and workers have managed to unionize for 75 years without the posters. This is obviously to encourage unionization in the workplace. And the posters are biased. They don't inform workers of the right to decertify a union if they don't like the union. They don't inform workers of the right to get back the percentage of their dues that are spent on political contributions, which are also our rights. They just inform them of their rights to organize. And the Obama administration clearly is looking to increase the number of union workers in the United States because unions pay large campaign contributions to the Democratic Party.
What is different?
And the number of unionized workers has been steadily declining over time.
What is the difference between the current makeup of the NLRB and previous incarnations? I think most Americans, or at least many, I would suggest, probably haven't even heard of it until this year when we got this ruling on Boeing in South Carolina, and now stories like this that you've been able to chronicle. What has changed about perhaps the activism of this board?
Well, the makeup of the board is very different. Craig Becker is a well-known union activist. He's worked for unions before. He was recess appointed to the board, and his term is going to expire. The chairman of the board has already had her term expire. By December, there'll only be two members of the board left, and therefore the board will not be able to conduct business. So some people say that this is the last efforts of the board to try to increase numbers of union workers in the United States.
We're talking with Diana Furcht-Gottroth of the Manhattan Institute, and Diana, you mentioned even in the title of your article that the gift from the Labor Relations Board to employers is fewer jobs. You mentioned the headaches, the fact they got to put up these posters, the fact that workers don't get the full story. But you also make the case that unionizing can actually cause a reduction in jobs at various firms. Explain that.
So unions tend to push for a higher compensation packages that employers can't always give. And this means employers sometimes go out of business, they sometimes move offshore. It's clear that if we look at unionized states and right-to-work states, the right-to-work states have been growing much faster. Over the past 25 years, they've created more than twice the number of new jobs as the unionized states. And the 2010 census showed that Americans have been moving from the unionized states to the right-to-work states. As a result, right-to-work states are going to pick up 9 new congressional seats in the next election. So it's clear what results in job growth and what doesn't. One useful comparison is between the big 3 automakers in Detroit, 2 of which received federal government bailouts. They are having a hard time of it right now, versus the foreign transplants in the South, Nissan, Toyota, BMW, Mercedes. They haven't received federal bailouts. Their cost of labor is a lot lower, and they are doing much better.
Certainly one of many things to keep in mind on this Labor Day. Diana, as always, we thank you greatly for your time and your insight.
Oh, well, thank you, and happy Labor Day to you and all your listeners.
Thank you. Same to you, Diana. Diana Furchtgott-Roth of the Manhattan Institute, former chief economist for the U.S. Department of Labor under President George W. Bush. She also served as his chief of staff for his Council of Economic Advisors, and she's a contributing editor at RealClearMarkets.com, where you can go to read her latest piece on the National Labor Relations Board. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America.